Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life, counting down to the
bottom. Welcome to another episode of Kathleen McGee is a Hot Mess with me, Kathleen McGee. Hopefully your favorite McGee. If you have another favorite McGee, I'd like to know, because I'd like to go to their house and tell them to fuck off. This is going to be part two of the Sunny Dollywall episode, because we talked for 2.5 hours. And I could have released it all last Monday, but then I had a podcast for this week. So, you know, lazy Kathleen could not do that. Come on. It was a weird week. Did you guys hear about that shit in Hawaii? I don't know how it's done, but everyone in Hawaii was sent an alert on their phone. I was watching this video and like your phone goes crazy when you get the alert, and they said active missile or something heading towards Hawaii. And it was from the government. It said this is not a drill. And for a half an hour, people thought they were going to die. People thought they were in Hawaii, thought that they were about to get blown to bits. And my thing is, like, how does it take you a half an hour to send a follow-up text saying, oops, we missed. We didn't. That was a mistake. What are people doing in that half an hour? What would you do if you knew that there was a bomb coming your way, a missile, an atomic bomb? I can't believe we even have to think about this shit in 2018, but we do. And like, I don't know what I would do. People were saying that I was reading on Twitter, people were texting and calling people, telling them they love them. And I mean, maybe you would text and call the people that you hate and tell them, fuck you, I never liked you. Mike McDonald made a great tweet about, there's going to be a lot of babies born in, September. I guess it would be 9 months from now in Hawaii. Would you fuck someone, right? If you knew, if that was it, you knew? I watched a video of a guy golfing and making a video to his family saying, I'm going out golfing. That's how I want. That's how I love what I love. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to die golfing. I don't know. Like, I made a joke last night that I was like, half an hour. Like, seriously, to get to these people, like, there's you couldn't send a text that said like 30 seconds later, be like, don't fuck your dog yet. Like, I don't know what I would do if I knew that was going to die for sure. That's a weird question to ask. I mean, everyone's going to be like, it's pretty morbid, Kathleen. But I don't know. I think that the more you talk about death, the less scary it is. It's going to happen to all of us. Or we're all going to be like living till we're in our hundreds. But honestly, who wants to be like 170 years old? Like, that seems crazy to me. Anyway. Weird week to question your existence in life. I just thought it was pretty crazy and pretty irresponsible of the government. But, I mean, look at the current American government. I wouldn't expect anything less. What else happened this week? I had a really great weekend with Tyler Morrison from Ontario. He was headlining at Yuck Yucks, and I was hosting for him, and the guy is just like vicious jokes, but amazing to watch, because he's got jokes where it's just like, what did you just, like, so not even offensive, just so mean, kind of almost, and a joke that you should be like angry about, but you can't because it's really fucking funny and you know it. He's going to be on the podcast in a couple of weeks, but very funny guy. If you ever get a chance to watch Tyler Morrison, God damn it. And I have to say, the best roaster in Canada, for sure. Probably one of the greatest roasters I've ever seen, period. And he needs to be on Roast Battles when they do it at Just for Laughs. Like, I cannot believe that he has not been on Roast Battles. He is the greatest roaster in Canada, in my opinion. Can't tell me anything different. Yeah, it's been a good week. No tears this week, I don't think. Things are moving along. My life changes are happening. I'm still not talking about them officially yet, but I mean, it's 100% going to happen. So again, not pregnant. So don't freak out, mom. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this podcast. I'm going to be tonight. I'm in Vancouver at Benchmark. It's like, used to be the corner. And now it's called Benchmark. But I remember the corner. I loved the corner. I wasn't even living in Vancouver yet. It was this little, it's a little bar with a back room with a stage. It's perfect. It's just hard to get crowds in there. But I remember when I did it, it was run. I can't remember who ran it when I was out here before I moved here. Anyway, I was a single girl and I met, there was a really good looking British dude that came up to me after the show and started talking to me. And I was just like, "You are very handsome. I don't know why you are talking to me." Anytime a good-looking guy starts talking to me, which is like any guy I've ever been with, because obviously I'm attracted to them, I'm always like, "What are you doing talking to me?" Anyway, and he was nice, and you know, it was a good time in Vancouver that time. That's all I'll say. But so I always thought the corner was a great spot. What a retard I am! Oh my god, what a terrible word to use. Not supposed to use that word. Me and my stupid 90s kid brain. What a silly person I am to be like liking a room because I got laid. I got problems. Anyway, so I'll be there tonight in Vancouver. Wednesday, I'll be in Saskatoon at the Capitol Music Club. If you are in Saskatoon, please come. I think it's getting really close to sold out. Some woman messaged me and said she's bringing 20 friends. Like, very exciting. So it's going to be a great show on a Wednesday night. And I mean, it starts at 8:30. You'll be done by 10:30. You can go home, go to bed for your day job the next day. You don't have to get wasted. I'll do that for you. But it's going to be, I love this place. I love the Capitol. I love the people that work there. I love Saskatoon. I have so many great friends in Saskatoon. And let me tell you, it's a kick-ass fucking city. Don't let people who've never been there or haven't been there in years say it's shit. People say that about my hometown of Edmonton all the time. People say that about any city that's not a major city. Well, it's a shit town. Well, fuck you then. Then don't go. But it's not a shit town. Saskatoon is amazing. If you do get a chance to go, the only thing about these cities, don't really go in the winter unless you really like being cold. But I'm really excited to go to Saskatoon on Wednesday. And then Thursday, I'm in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, northern Saskatchewan, for another amazing show at the Rock and Iron. It's a curling club / golf club, and it is really fun. If you're in Prince Albert, come out. It was so much fun last time. That was the first time I ever sold merch, and I sold 12 shirts at that one show, because it was so much fun. So, yeah, I'll see you in Saskatchewan this week. And, yeah, enjoy part two of my Sunny Dhaliwal episode. You can never get enough of Sunny Dhaliwal. What did you think of the first half? I had some people send some really great feedback, and that was awesome. It's cool. We're discussing things. We're talking things out. We're trying to make the world a better place with one little podcast. I don't know if it'll work, but hopefully this is a bright spot in your day. It's a bright spot in my life. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. And here you go. Here's part two of my episode with Sunny Dhaliwal.
Shutting down, good Lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, you play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
I want to talk. Well, what? Remember I said I was going to go through my Instagram and look at stories? So this one really pissed me off this year. When Lady Gaga was at the Super Bowl performing and people were talking that she had a belly.
Oh, yeah. She
like,
looked great.
She looked fuck, if I wish I was that fucking fat. Seriously.
See, this is another thing about like how I'm so blind to all this stuff,
yeah,
because I just focus on what I want to focus on. Because the only thing I remember from that And also, like, because I didn't bother with any of the other bullshit, so I didn't even know about the belly thing. I was just so impressed that she jumped off the thing and caught the football. I was like, ah!
Yeah.
Everyone went nuts.
But then you go on Twitter and there's all these bros being like, look at her belly, she's fat. And even women were like, look at how fat she was. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Fat? And then so I put a picture of a football player next to her, a maybe 450-pound football player.
Yeah, he's huge.
So it's okay for him to have a fucking gigantic gunt?
Yeah.
But she can't have a tiny itty-bitty belly? I just was like, that was so frustrating. Yeah, that was just like such a good example of sexism in this fucking world.
I like my women to look like women, so it doesn't affect me.
You like a curvy lady?
I had this. Well, you saw my ladies.
Yes,
I did.
Well,
my ex-lady, I guess, because that's the longest one. 6 years. Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, the other ones were before a stand-up. Before the fame.
Before the fame.
So.
Before this fame? Look at what I found.
Oh my God!
Sunny is in an ad at the whatchamacallit,
ICBC,
which is like the DMV in BC. Oh, you're what, 16 in this picture?
Nah, man, that was when I started comedy too. I was like 21, maybe.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. So I was talking to my friend, and he goes, "Hey, man," because he would always date like rail thin chicks.
Yeah.
And also like. Like fake boobs, like that was his thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Like super skinny, and then like big breasts. That's what he would like, and
because that's like, natural.
Yeah, of course. and then like I saw him recently, and he said, "Hey, man, I've been like starting to date girls with like curves and stuff on them now." And I'm like, "Yeah," and he goes, "Yo, I don't know what the fuck I was doing." And I'm like, "I know. Remember I tried to tell you?" And he goes like, yeah. "Yeah, I see what you mean. I'm like, "Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing." But I think it's just because of, again, culture I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I love rap. I love hip hop. Like, I love it all. And they always, like, from fucking Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
Baby Got Back.
Well, I always
loved
it. I like
big butts and I cannot lie. And then, and any other culture, rock and whatever, it was frowned upon. There was like how to get rid of your butt, like
real those skinny.
Yeah, you know, and that was a thing. It's like, all right, big breasts are okay, but you have to get rid of your butt. Well, and rap was like, nah, man, be that.
Whenever I'd get comments about, of course you have jokes about black guys. You're a bigger white woman, and I'm like, yeah, of course I do, because they're the only men that gave me respect for a really long time. They're the only men that made me feel like I looked good. Like white guys were always like, I have a joke about it where I was like. Like, you know, the black guys will always be like, "You're beautiful the way you are." And white guys would be like, "Well, have you tried throwing up?" Like, if it, seriously.
Chris Rock has probably one of the best jokes on that. He goes, "I know white women that don't even have scales in their houses. They just know they're getting too fat when black guys start hitting on them."
That's so true, though.
Let's go, Rock.
But it's true. Like, this is like comedy is real and the real things that have happened to people. And so, like, yes, of course I'm going to have jokes about hot black guys that hit on me. Because they're the ones that made me feel good about myself. And there's been such a huge movement in the acceptance of how all women look. Like there are women. There's a woman that is basically a supermodel in the modeling industry now. Her name is Tess. Is it Tess Holliday now? Anyway, Tess Holliday. She is like size 28, and she's like 5'5", which is two of the things that you're not allowed to be in the modeling world. And she's a stunningly beautiful woman, and she's huge. And she gets hate all the time still. But I think it's amazing, and it shows other women that, like, you know what? Like, okay, so you're this way. And I guess, like, she gets a lot of people, well, you're promoting unhealthiness. I have some friends that are bigger than me that could run circles around me that are very extremely healthy. Some people just cannot. If I was my ideal body weight, which is like on the BMI and everything, I would not be a healthy person. Mm-hmm. I would look really, really weird because I'm 6'1". Yeah. Like I would look really weird. I'm supposed to be 180 pounds. I'm not 180 pounds. But if I was 180 pounds, like I don't even know what I would look like.
And just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy. Yeah. You could be sitting at home eating Oreos all day.
And also, you're not promoting on healthy lifestyle, you're promoting healthy lifestyle, like mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
You should be happy with the way you are. Now, if you want to get healthier in this aspect, then go to the gym. But you shouldn't go to the gym because someone told you you should.
It's been a huge, long process in my life, finally accepting who I am and being like, okay, now I want to be healthy. But like, I have been up and I have been down and I've been up and down all my life. And it's just like, I'm not one of those people that can eat something and never gain weight. I'll eat it and it'll be right on my, and it won't be on my butt or in my boobs. It'll be somewhere I don't want it to be. But I finally don't feel horrible about who I am.
So I lost a lot of weight.
Were you a chubby kid?
No, not at all. I was always skinny.
Yeah.
And then I was like, when I started comedy, I'm 6'5".
Yeah.
I was 190 pounds. And then like recently,
You were super skinny.
Super skinny.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw that picture?
Yeah, yeah.
Super skinny. And then I gained a lot of weight.
It's because you started drinking.
Yeah, I started drinking. But then also like, I loved life, right?
Yeah.
I got to like over 260. Got over 260, but you didn't really notice it because I was so tall. But like, you notice it like on the face and all this stuff. And recently, I went from like 260 down to 200, and I'm like, oh, I got to bulk up. And then so I started working out heavy, and now I'm at like 210, 215. But anybody that sees me, especially when I was like losing the weight, they're like, oh man, like you lost so much weight. Like, oh, you're doing like, look at how goodly you look. And I just always like looked them straight in the face. I'm like, yeah, depression. And that's literally how I lost
the
weight.
You're so lucky with depression because with depression, I eat.
No, that's what people say. They're like, because they're like, oh, you look so great. And it's like, yeah, depression. And they go, oh, well, yeah, just because I'm losing, I was better at 260.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like it doesn't matter. But now I'm good. I'm just working out and stuff. And
yeah. Everything is. Oh, I think it takes a really long time because it is hard, and I'll say this, and if somebody is at a gym, and if you ever go to a gym, it's so intimidating going to a gym, being a bigger person. It really is. Like, also, it's terrifying.
Also, ladies, I understand why you have female-only sections.
Absolutely.
I understand why you have She's Fit. In fact, I want there to be zero women at the gym.
Yeah.
Because I'm attracted to females, but however, I just want to work out, and
you get distracted.
Not even that. But you look great regardless, and especially in gym attire.
Yeah,
and then also working out requires you to do some awkward positions and movements.
Oh, like on that, I call it the vagina spreader, the thigh.
Right, exactly. Right, or like, and then especially if you're doing squats, which a lot of women are.
Yeah,
and like. I went to the gym and I was like halfway during the workout and I just fucking left.
Yeah.
Because there was a woman in front of me. She was very attractive and she's doing these movements. And it's not like I'm looking at her or whatever, but I felt like such a pervert because I'm like, I can't do this without staring straight.
Yeah.
And I don't want her to think that I'm doing, and I'm like, I got
to
get
maybe
the fuck
out
of here.
Maybe she wants you to look at her.
No, maybe, but I don't want to do that. I just want to work out.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just bounced.
It is. I've gone to both kinds of gyms where it was like all women's gyms and then it make like both mixed genders. Up. But I always have felt way more comfortable in all women's gym. Although women can be fucking catty too. But
oh, for sure.
Like that woman that took the picture of that woman in the gym. This was a couple years ago. Danny something. And then she put it on Snapchat. And she actually got like sued and like got fucked over because she put it on. She goes, if I have to look at this, you all have to look at this too. And it was like a woman in her 60s changing. Like, people are so dumb.
Yeah, there was this. Media. I remember this one where a woman put out a Snapchat thing of like, ugh, look at this guy. Or
yeah.
Like, or he's so fat or whatever. And it's a dude. And then I like this because they took a screenshot of that and then they retweeted it.
Yeah.
And it said, when you see someone actively changing the thing you have a problem with. Because he's like, oh, this guy's so fat. It's like, yeah, that's why he's at the fucking gym.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah. I think that like a lot of people too. Like I still
swear a lot this podcast.
That's what you're allowed to do whatever you want on this podcast.
Yeah, and I didn't even drink; it's water.
I have like stuff that happened to me when I was like in the seventh grade and in high school that I still have never let go, and it makes me untrustworthy towards people, and it makes it impossible for me to take a compliment, and like it's just stuff that I've never dealt with, but like I still remember the name of all the people that were mean to me, and it's really funny because it's like they have been like, oh, you look great now. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them have reached out to me and be like, you look great. I can't believe you're doing this. I'm like, yeah, you are part of my mental problems.
Right.
So yes, I have you to thank for comedy, because the reason why I'm funny is because that's the only defense I had.
Yes. Same. Also though, this is going to sound super hypocritical coming from me, because I hold the biggest grudges. Not even grudges, but like I never forget.
Yeah,
like
me neither.
Yeah, and that sucks, and I need to let go of a lot of things. But especially in high school or like elementary school, we weren't as developed, and we're all just trying to like fit in.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to fit in is to join a crowd that's, you know, it's like, oh, this person sucks. And you're like, yeah, you suck. Just so like, oh, okay, cool, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
So, and so I think those people reaching out to you is a way they grew and mature. Like, just like you said, with like, it's like, it's not all men and they're changing.
People change,
Yeah. And so, I don't know why I'm defending them.
No, you're not defending them. But it is true that people change, and people, like, when you're young, you don't know. But like, hopefully if you're a parent, you teach people that your words will stay with people, especially when you're a kid. If people said something to you when you were a kid, it just gets embedded and it will stay with you, and it will cause a lot of problems.
Yeah,
for that person. So you have to be careful with your words.
I coached basketball. I coached lacrosse. I coached basketball and lacrosse. Mostly basketball all my life. After university and stuff. And one of the big problems is the parents. Like, you don't think this way, but when you say just these things, I can see physically and how it affects the kids.
Yeah.
And, man, they missed a layup. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Let me deal with that.
And all a kid wants is for their parent to think that they're great.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to hear that you suck because you can't do a layup. Like, I wonder if it's changing. Like, I'm not a parent. You're not a parent. But, like, I think that...
I'm probably a parent.
You're hilarious.
I'm constantly on the road. Good-looking cat. You know, it's hard.
You're so funny. A lot of little sunnies. Spreading your sunshine all over Canada.
I'm telling you, man. In 9 months, there's going to be a lot of kids born with big teeth.
They're just born with those teeth. Little infants.
Just super charming right away.
Just these little your nephew is charming, and he's, I just know this from the pictures.
Yeah, I know. I was just gonna like, so you know how you're checking your Instagram for the thing? I looked at my year. It's just pictures of me and my nephew.
It's just because he's so friggin' cute.
He's adorable.
He's so cute. Did you do Top Comic? Have you ever done it?
I did it a couple years ago. I moved on and all that stuff. But
yeah, Top Comic was, I mean, it was a good experience, but it also really fucked me up.
Oh really? Yeah.
Remember
how you were talking about like life and success and all that stuff? This always happened to me where, so remember, it was life and everything was going well, and then at my peak, then it started going down.
Yeah.
So it was like, or hey, you're moving on to Top Comic. Then it's like, all right, well, this person just passed away, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Hey man, you got Just for Laughs. Right. This person passed away. I'm like, fuck. So it started happening after that, where that happened. So that's why you probably didn't hear about me getting Top Comic, because I didn't do it.
You didn't go and do it?
Well, I kind of like just, you know, left for like 3 months and then came back.
Yeah. I love, listen to what I'll say about this contest. I love what Ben Miner is doing, that he is bringing more attention to Canadian comedians, and he's doing so much for us at SiriusXM. My problem with these contests is they will wreck you. Like, they will make you feel like you suck. It shouldn't be called Canada's Top Comic. It should be called Who is the Best 7 Minutes This Year? Because that's what it is. It's not somebody.
It should be called Comedy is Subjective.
Comedy is subjective, and I don't know. It's just like, it's such a rough thing because it's so stressful doing. I hate how everything in Canada comes down to a contest.
Yeah.
Like, Canada can't just get it together and celebrate all of us. We have to just give it to one person. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying this as a sore loser.
But you mean this as like, not just this, but you mean like this as like festivals.
In everything. It's always a contest to get into something, and nobody is getting stuff. I mean, people do get stuff because they deserve it, but I was talking to Sean LaComber about some stuff, and I don't know if he'd want me to say this, but I was like, we were talking about Conan and all the Canadians that have done Conan. And he's like, it's really funny because in America, Conan signifies the beginning of your career.
Yeah.
And in Canada, Conan is like, I hit the peak. This is my peak. Yeah. Here I am at the very, I've been working so hard and here's Conan. And then
And that's, yeah. So I was talking stressful. To a lot of comics and they just go, I'm like, oh my man, this person's done Conan. This guy's done this and that. And they just say, Sonny, if you lived in the States, you would have done, we would have all done that too.
Yeah.
And I'm like that's a discrepancy.
You would have done it 5 years ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like Letterman moved to LA and did Carson in 3 years.
Yeah.
He said, because I watched his Mark Twain Award.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. And so everyone's like, well, just move. I'm like, it's not that easy, but.
just move. I did.
I did a couple times. But it's just like, yeah, it's just, it was a frustrating. So it really. Because I was like, I can't, like, I knew I wasn't going to win necessarily, but it's just everybody keeps telling you you're going to win. And then it's, this has happened to me before. And then I get too worked up about it. But it's just, I'm frustrated with the fact that they only see it as a way to award one person.
Yeah.
And I said this before. I'm like, why don't you guys, instead of giving one person $25,000, take the top 10 on the road for, or take the top 8 or 6 that was there on the road for 2 fucking months and pay us just what we normally make. That's like a huge prize.
And still give the top person $25,000.
Do a theater tour with these people. Like promote Canadian comedy. Really fucking promote it.
Yeah, that would actually be amazing.
I don't think that it would ever happen, but
yeah.
Who knows? It's just the state of the world. But yeah, you know, I was like, just like very down.
Last Comic Standing, they do a tour. With everybody.
Exactly. Like, that was my reason. That was my reason. So sure, yeah. Give the person that won $25,000 and they headline the tour. And then, but put the other people in people's faces.
Yeah. That would actually be great. Anything else in this year?
Anything else in this year?
In the sports world?
In the sport. I don't know anything about the sports world.
No, I'm just saying.
The Oilers got to the playoffs. I was excited about that.
The Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Is that a big deal?
It was the best Super Bowl of all time, probably.
Really? Why was it the best Super Bowl of all time?
The Patriots came back from 25 points down in the fourth quarter. I think it was 28-3, if I'm not mistaken. And here's... this is so fucking crazy. So I'm watching... I'm not a Patriots fan.
Okay.
Right? I'm a Saints fan, but... Patriots are like the team that's like they're just always so prim and proper. And Belichick, their coach, is a D-bag, you know. And so you're just like, you know, and Tom Brady's so fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Good looking. Giselle is his wife. You know what I mean? Like, just, fuck you. Right. This is who we're trying to topple. Anyway,
we're talking about sports.
Yeah. But no, not that. I mean, I was going to make a Star Wars reference, and I'm like, no, I'm going to fuck it up. So this is who you're trying to topple. So you can't like this guy, right? Like, if you like the Patriots, you like the Patriots. But to everybody else in the league, it's like, right, I like this team. I don't mind anybody else, but I hate this team,
yeah,
right? Because they're the Yankees, right? In the '90s. So I'm watching, and the media day comes up, and this kid asked Tom Brady a question, and he goes, a lot of people, you're a hero to a lot of people, but who is your hero? And then he says, I would have to say my father, because he's been there for me every day. And then he stops and he gets emotional and there's like tears in his eyes. And then he just goes, so I would say my father. And I watched this and I went, do I fucking root for Tom Brady? I think I fucking love Tom Brady now. This is fucked up.
Showing emotion makes people realize you're a real fucking person.
And then he dedicated the game to his mom, and we didn't know why. And he's just like, yeah, I dedicate this game to my mom. And it's 28-3 for the other team going into the last quarter. And then they mount the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, 28-28, and then they win in overtime. And then as everybody's celebrating, confetti's raining down. The commentator says, big emotional game and big win for Tom Brady. I dedicated it to his mom because she had health problems. And then they see they show Tom Brady's mom, and she has a bandana on
because
she's going through chemo.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, of course this guy fucking came back. You're losing 28-3. You dedicated to your mom. She has cancer. Give me the fucking ball.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and I'm like, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then there's this comic. I won't say who he is, but he's in Calgary, and he just hates sports. And then he just goes, oh, you guys watch the Super Bowl? More like super boring. And I went, well, this guy obviously didn't watch it because he doesn't watch sports. And he said it's super boring. I'm like, oh, you mean the greatest Super Bowl of all time?
Most exciting.
Yeah. And then so I went up and I did this. I never do this joke, but I only did it because of him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you remind me of my uncle. Because my uncle just makes blanket statements to things he doesn't talk about. Like we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
I would never make a blanket statement, and I'm not going to talk about things that I don't have a knowledge of because I don't want to seem ignorant.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, yeah, that would be great if you watched the Super Bowl because it was super exciting. Yeah. There's so many storylines. You're like my uncle because he makes blanket statements all the time. I went over to his house, and this is true. My uncle went, out of nowhere, he just goes, oh man, rap is so garbage. Anybody can rap. You don't need talent to rap. Just a blanket statement. And I went, how do you figure? And he goes, anybody can rap. I'm like, okay, go ahead and rap. And he goes, my name is Bob. I work at my job. And I went, your name's not Bob. It's Ranjit. And then he said, well, I can't rhyme anything with Ranjit. I'm like, yeah, because it takes fucking talent. Go drive your cab.
Amazing.
He's a cab driver.
He's okay. It was an Winnipeg. Accurate job.
That's an accurate thing.
Yeah. The thing about sports to me is, like, I don't hate sports. I just, like, I don't, like...
Hey, do what
I'm
you want to do.
And I am a total, like, a professed bandwagon jumper. I'll jump on and I will jump off. And some people are ashamed of it. And some people try to shame you for it. But yeah. Fuck it. That's what I do. Yeah, so I am
so against bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're not doing this. And you don't have to like sports.
No,
you don't
have
to like sports. Like we said, this is the theme of this podcast.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do.
Don't do anything else.
But I always do find when I do... If I go to a live sports game, it's always incredibly fun.
No, see, that's the thing, is watching sports and keeping up with sports is a thing,
yeah.
Right? But when people go to sporting events and you wear a jersey and it's like, well, yeah, you don't like this team, fuck this. It's like, no, you're just there for the atmosphere. You're there for something to do, and why wouldn't you?
That's why I always say when someone's like, I don't think I like stand-up comedy, I'm like, go watch it live.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you go watch it live, it's exhilarating. I had actually... this, so I was at Yuck Yucks last weekend, and on
I'm there this weekend right now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, headlining guys.
When is this coming out after? Yeah, they miss you. But
how was it? Great, killed it, standing ovation.
So I had a show the Friday show. Yeah, and there was a lot of talking, but they were a really fun crowd. It was packed. We were shocked it was so packed because it was right after Christmas. And there was a table up front of like, or a guy and two hot girls. So we were like joking and I was being rude, but they were along with it. So like, I won't push people if I can see that they're being uncomfortable, but if they're laughing and into it, I'll get really rude to them.
Right.
And I was talking, I have this joke about ass eating and I'm tired of hearing about it and I don't want people to do it anymore because I don't want my future leader to be an ass eater. And then I said something like Trudeau, I mean, probably does it because he's always got a shit eating grin. And it was just like an off the top of my head joke. Yeah. And I don't hate Trudeau. I don't mind him.
Yeah. You know, Trump does it because he talks a lot of shit. Like, yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just being a comedian.
I know. I know my friend does it because he has pink eye constantly. just text.
So I have this drunk girl stand up in the back and just be like, what are you going to do then? And I was like, I was just shocked. I was like, what? She goes, what are you going to do then? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want me to do? I'm like, I don't know where this is coming from. And then she goes, you fucking retard. And I was like, excuse me? And I was like, did you just call me the R word? And she's like, no. And then three audience members turned around and said, yes. But she was wasted. So then I was like, I feel like a man right now. I've never felt like this before, but I finally understand. Like, I have this woman that's irrationally angry at me, and she keeps telling me, but she does not tell me why she's angry at me. And I'm like, the first time ever, I feel like a man. So I'm sorry to my boyfriend. But then, so she finally leaves, and the whole room booed her out.
Nice.
It was pretty funny. And I felt kind of bad because I've been that super drunk girl before. So she was really drunk. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad until I found out that she was being a total bitch to the staff after and refusing to pay her bill and stuff. So anyway, she was with this group of people. And you know when like you have that one drunk heckler, we want to know what the fuck is going on with her friends. So I was like, hey, what?
Hold on. Her friend stayed?
Okay, listen, she was with a group of people.
Yes.
They were all there. Nobody got up and left with her.
Exactly. That proves that you're a fucking asshole.
Also, let me finish and you'll find out why. Okay. So I was like, who was with her? And they were like, we were, because no one's ever like, that's our friend. And I was like, what's going on? And there was a little bit of silence. And then someone said something I didn't quite hear. I'm like, what? And they said, it's our friend's Tinder date. So he brought a girl on a first Tinder date with a group of friends. She got wasted, acted like a fool. But it was, and like as soon as he said that, that room exploded. It was probably one of the funniest interactions I've ever had. Like, of course we hate hecklers, but sometimes the gods just shine upon us. She kept on telling me she hated my heckles. And I'm like, these are called jokes. You're heckling. You have the bad heckles. Anyway, it was just like this weird. The point of this whole long drawn out story is that room felt like electric. Like when you're at a live comedy show and shit goes down, there's nothing crazier and more exciting. Like I was like, for 5 minutes, I trashed that woman after she left, and people. It was like the best, the most fun ever.
Yeah, it's like when you tell a story, and then the person you're telling the story to doesn't laugh. And then what do you always say? You go, oh, you had to be there.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you had to.
Yeah.
You got to be there. You're not going to do it justice.
And seeing live comedy is just like, it's not, if you've never seen it, you're nuts. Go see a live comedy show. Even the bad ones are fun.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, it's more fun.
I go to bad comedy shows all the time. Because I love it.
Yeah.
I love when people give up on their dreams on stage. It's my favorite thing.
That's some of the best sets I've ever seen from comics that have been like on the amateur list for 8 years is when they explode on stage because they're so fucking sick of it. Like some of the best sets is just like watching.
Can we take a break? I need to go to the little girl's room.
Yeah, we could take a break. This is already a long podcast, but we'll take a little tiny break. Okay, so we're back. That was a fun little pee break.
Okay, we're back. Eugene's back. Everybody's back.
We're all back. Can you say what? Because I do feel like I don't want people to think I have sour grapes over the winner of the
podcast. Oh, okay.
Because I don't feel like I had a great set. Like, I don't think I should have won the contest. I just am annoyed with
the
way.
Okay, yeah. So what happened was I was going to do a pee break. And then Kathleen was like, oh, man, should I keep that last comic stuff? I don't want to seem like a sore loser. I'm like, well, you're not being a sore loser because you never argued the result of the competition. The winner was Gavin Matz,
yeah.
A good friend of mine.
And he had a great set.
Great set. He deserved it.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people had great sets. Sterling and Graham Chittenden are the top three.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do the thing. I think Kyle Bottom had a great set.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing the competition, you're going to have a good set.
Because
yeah, I didn't
have
the
a
winner.
Great set, but
you're one of the
winners. I was too nervous.
No, I felt what you said was you have a problem with the format of the competition, not the result of
no,
it.
No, I just...
Every year, you're going to have the same stance unless they change it. I worked. I did the set. I got chosen as the, you know, one of the finalists. For Vancouver, I promoted myself for all these fucking months and months and months. I flew all the way out to Toronto. I did the show, and now it's all right. Go home.
Yeah.
And no one knows who I am because I only promoted it to my friends.
Yeah.
Right. There's a theater worth of people that saw me, but that's it.
Yeah, they're not gonna remember.
I don't get to do the. Listen, do something else for me if you want to promote my comedy.
Yeah.
Which is the tour idea.
Yeah, and that's my thing is that it's absolutely not like I don't want people to think that I'm not happy that Gavin won. He deserved it. He had a great set. Everybody that won deserved to win that night. I'm just wishing that we could find a way to make it so it's not just one person every year.
And also it would help even the winner.
Because I know, like give him a like give us all a little bit of exposure. Put together a tour. How much can a tour actually be? Like you'd make money off of it if you promoted it properly,
right?
And I don't know. It's just how I feel. And like look at what they do in the States. They do like the Odd Block comedy tour or Oddball comedy tour. Odd Block is a festival in Winnipeg, but it's like they have all these things and the comics have fun together and are having a great time. And then in Canada, we pit everyone up against each other so that at the end of the show, people are sad and they go home sad.
Right.
And you know, it's just, it's frustrating. But I wanted to make it clear because I know I've been before. I just don't want people to think that I'm being a sore loser.
Oh, yeah, like she lost and that's why. It's like, no,
I was saying it before the thing. In interviews before, I said, why don't you guys make this into a tour? I said it a lot. I said it to Joe Thistle, the director, and he's like, that is a great idea. But like...
That is a great idea.
And never going to happen.
Who was that?
Yeah.
That was Kathleen McGee.
Or fucking Just for Laughs. What are you guys doing for Canadians? Please. I'm sorry.
No, that's a different...
I'm going to say it.
Conversation.
I don't want to have a big thing, but take the top comic people. Put them on a Just for Laughs tour instead of booking two Irish comics to tour Canada.
Who's touring this thing?
Whenever they do a Just for Laughs tour, it's always like one Canadian hosts it and two international acts. And I'm like, we don't need you to bring more comedians here and give them exposure. We need your help. We want your help, Just for Laughs. You get tax credits because of us. Please help us. Anyway, I'm never going to get booked on Just for Laughs now. But that doesn't change anything.
No, you will. You know why? Because they don't listen to this.
They don't listen to this. Hopefully. Hopefully nobody does. But okay. The other thing I want to talk about, because this was huge this year, with guns. We're still talking about guns, and we're still talking about mass shootings, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I have this cartoon that it went around after the Las Vegas shootings. And it's this one woman saying, why didn't God stop the shootings? And then a guy said, because God doesn't exist, engage with reality and fix your fucking gun laws. And I just, I'm so tired of hearing this, like, you people that are for guns and against gun laws, you're so ridiculous. Like, how, and mental health help. And mental health is a huge thing that all countries need to start focusing on again, because the reason why this happened is because a mentally ill man, white male, you don't see a lot of non-white males mass shooting. And they usually have a background of abuse, of spousal abuse, of whatever. And it's easy for these mentally ill people to get guns.
Yeah. I think the narrative, again, in the media, to scare everybody that likes guns, is that they're trying to take our guns away.
Yeah, and they're not.
No one's trying to do that. We just don't want these shootings to happen, and thus it will make it harder for people to get guns.
Yeah.
You can keep yours, and if you're not one of these people that want to, you know, kill a mass number of people, or anybody, I should say that, then you'll be fine.
Who needs a semi-automatic weapon?
Right, that's another thing. Right?
Like, I understand the guns for hunting. Sure, that's fine.
And that's another thing. So that's the one thing. Okay, so people, that's the one tier, because they don't even have that. They don't even have like the background checks in place. So that's the one thing.
My friend went to get a gun. My friend and his wife, they just wanted to shoot guns. And so they applied and they put me as a reference. And I was shocked. They actually called me and asked me about these people. And they asked me, I was on the phone for half an hour. Like, have they ever done this? Have they ever shown anything? Have you known them to ever have a serious depression? I was just shocked with everything they were asking me. I'm like, go Canada.
Okay. Exactly. And they got their guns.
Yeah, they got their guns because they're fine, normal people.
And then so the next thing is like the argument is like, we need it for hunting and all these things. It's like, well, why do you need a semi-automatic weapon or fully automatic weapon or an assault rifle for hunting? That's not for hunting uses.
Yeah.
Right? So bam, right there. And then the third thing is, well, we need it for protection. Well, you're more likely to kill your own family. Well, I keep it in a lock and safe. And it's like, well, then how is that going to protect? Because then you have to get it out before. So all these things, like, it just doesn't make sense. You just like the way things are, and you're scared, and you're holding on to something that scares you.
Yeah.
And then again, like, to skirt the issue, right? The whole thing is like, okay, well, let's not talk about it now, because that wouldn't be tactful. Right?
Yeah. Fuck
so
that.
Let's not talk about it. But then you never talk about it. And then the last thing that was specific to the Las Vegas shooting is they actually said on the news, it was on CNN, he got so many guns in there in his suitcase. So I wouldn't be surprised if hotels start increasing
searching
bag and their security. So if you're blaming this on that, or if you think like, wow, this first time it happened in a hotel, we got to have some security in place.
Yeah.
Well, then how many fucking times does it have to happen with guns before you change that?
Yeah. Why do you have to change the security laws?
Exactly. So there was a shoe bomber. There was a shoe bomber.
Yeah.
So everybody in the States
had to take their shoes off.
You still do.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a, this thing happened.
Little bottles of water. You can't.
Exactly. Now you do that. Right. You found out that, you know, like anything, any action has a reaction and a cause and effect except for guns.
Yeah.
And you mentioned mental illness. Well, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, and that is exactly what's happening down there. And it's so frustrating. Like I have a friend that was down. She was in Vegas, and she posted about it because of course that's what you do when you're dealing with something. She wasn't at the festival, but she was walking down the strip and all hell broke loose and nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
They just ran and hid in the basement of one of the casinos and nobody knew, but that's gotta be the most terrifying feeling. Like you're out living your life, just having a great time at a festival.
Yeah.
And then you look and someone next to you gets their head blown off. And it's like, what is wrong with that country that they can't see that there's a big problem and they refuse to deal with it? Like I don't understand how it is still, and it's like it never happened. You never hear about it anymore. It's gone. It's out of the, and that's the thing with the media today, is it's always a new story every day, right? So,
and also another thing that I don't think I've never heard anybody touch on this, and I've always thought it was so weird. In Canada, in the UK, basically anywhere besides America, I might be wrong about this, but I know those two countries for sure, or regions, you know, Canada and anywhere in Europe. Unlike the States, when we get news, this is how our news is. So if there's any listeners in the States, this is what I want you to know this.
In Canada.
This is what happens in Canada. Something happens, news story, right? Let's say it happened with our prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
They say, this is what happened. And then they stop talking and then they go to the next story. The idea and the thing of opinion-based news is solely in America.
Because they decided to have 24-hour news and they have to fill the time.
Well, I mean, that too, but also... Because you can just show it on a loop, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But the opinion side of it,
yeah,
where they go, Obama did this, and this is what it means to this. And it's like, whoa, you don't tell me what the news is or what the news means. I'll figure that out for myself.
Yeah.
Just report what it is, and I got it from here. But they do their own opinion, and they talk, and then as you're listening, you just go, okay, you know what? They're making some good points.
Yeah.
And then that's what you think it is.
Well, even with all this, like, the new fake news thing from Trump, I've even watched some of the stuff and been like, oh, my God, stop making him out this to be bigger than it is. Like, when he looked at the solar eclipse or, like, it's just like, no, there was another thing that happened. And I hate Trump and I want him gone. But I also, they do make things that are tiny out to be huge.
Yeah.
There was one thing that he did. I can't remember what it was. And I remember I watched... They had one little tiny clip and they showed the bad part of it. And then I watched the 5-minute clip and I'm like, oh no, this is nothing. But the media does. They're like, they pick one little thing and they throw it out there. So yeah, I agree that the media is fucked.
And it's only in the States.
Yeah.
When you have an agenda and a bias and a point of view that you're trying to get across, you cannot be impartial.
Yeah.
And that's what the news is. It's supposed to be impartial. So if there's stuff that you should be reporting.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, I like this, but I should have, you still report it.
It's fucked that in America, they have a news channel for people that are Democrats and a news channel for people that are Republicans. That's so fucked.
Yeah. You know what's really,
that's so fucked up.
It's so fucked. I didn't realize about how crazy the partisan shit is.
Yeah.
When you're a Democrat, when you're a Republican, you're that for life. Your kids are that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, that's why things don't change.
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's not like that in Canada at all. I have I have family that were big PC supporters, and I have family that were big liberal supporters, and I had an aunt that wanted me to join the Liberal Party and be a young liberal when I was a kid. And my mom always supported the Liberal Party, but then I supported the NDP in the last election because, you know, I agree with what they're saying. Like, you can change your mind in Canada, but you're right. In America, you're a Republican or you're a Democrat till the day you fucking die. Yeah, and that's crazy.
And Chris Rock says, everybody's so hell-bent on being a gang. I'm a Republican. I'm a liberal, right? Be a fucking person.
Yeah.
Conservatives are idiots. Democrats are idiots.
Yeah.
And liberals are idiots, and Republicans are idiots. He goes, there's no one person is one way about everything.
Yeah.
There's stuff I'm liberal about. There's some things I'm conservative about, right? Crime, conservative. Prostitution, liberal. Chris Rock is the greatest.
That's a great joke. Oh, my God. Okay. So this will be a two-parter, but we'll just talk. Do you have any predictions for 2018 of things that you think are? I think that Trump is something's going to happen. I think he's going to get impeached. I hope so. It's crazy that he has not been yet.
I think, this is going to be very sad and overwhelming to say, but I think there's going to be some events and stuff like that, but honestly, everything is going to be the same. All right,
yeah.
like, oh man, we made a lot of strides with this YouTube movement or Me Too movement.
YouTube movement,
yeah, YouTube. You know, like they had a really good albums with all this Me Too movement. Yo, man, it's gonna that pendulum is gonna swing,
but then it will come back.
That's what I'm saying. It's gonna come back.
Yeah,
it's gonna. Trump said something, and I had this discussion with this person. Where they said, where Trump said, I'll be reelected in 2020 because the media wants my ratings. And obviously that's stupid. But I was like, you know what? He has a point with the ratings and how media works is because the media is saying like, no, we're not going to cover this guy. Because that's how he got elected.
Yeah.
Is when he had no shot of being the Republican candidate, they just had like a 24/7 news cycle on Trump. And then so when people like need to make up their mind, they're like, well, all I see is Trump. All right, I guess I'll vote for this guy because I'm part of Republican. Yeah. I'm a part of this gang.
I don't think he's a stupid person. I think he's a very dangerous person.
Yeah.
Like he does know how to manipulate and get people to believe him. How he kept saying drain the swamp, and now the swamp is fuller than ever.
Yeah.
But he was telling all these people who had lost their jobs and were poor, I'm going to get all those jobs back. Has he done that? No.
Yeah.
He hasn't done any of that. He's cut taxes to his friends in front of everybody.
Yeah, no, it's so stupid not to be like, of course, we all know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And he did. It's like Michael Jordan. You know he's going to get the ball. You know he's going to shoot it.
Yeah.
And you just watched him do it.
Yeah.
Because he's the greatest of all time. I'm not comparing Michael Jordan to Trump, okay? I just love basketball.
But like, he just recently had a Kim Jong whatever, I'm sorry, I can't remember which Il or Ong or whatever. That sounds awful, but
yeah.
He said that they have weapons now that will hit America, and then Trump was basically on Twitter going like, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you stop gambling with all our lives,
right?
Because your ego needs to be pumped. Like, that's my problem with him. Is I don't know if it,
I also think Kim Jong Un.
But it's like, just as crazy as him.
Yeah, he's just as crazy. And I think he's just doing this as bullshit. I mean, I let's not get into that. But I don't think North Korea is a biggest threat as everybody claims.
Things they are.
I don't think they have the technology. They don't have fucking internet there.
Yeah.
It's all controlled by their government. Everybody's like, oh, they're getting closer. Are they? Really?
Yeah.
Do your own research.
You don't know what's going to happen, but I think you're right, and it's...
There's a book on it. I forget what the book is called. But this guy, he went to live in North Korea, and he came back and reported his findings, and it's fucking shocking.
Really?
Oh, my God. You know what they do? They if you commit a crime, like against the government, too, right? So it's just, you're like, yeah, I don't like what Kim Jong-un is doing. So what they'll do is they'll come to your house. They won't tell you what crime you committed. Right, you could steal something or whatever. They'll come to your house and they'll arrest you and three generations of your family.
What?
So they'll so if it's me, they're gonna like arrest my kid, but also my parents.
Oh my God!
And then now you work, and you have a quota to fill. So everybody works, and you don't know who the fuck did it. You're all working like almost like slaves, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know what? Fuck this. I can't take this anymore. So you kill yourself. You have a quota to fill. So now your family has to make up for your quota because you're not doing it because you're dead. So they get you. So it's really backwards out there.
Yeah.
Not backwards. It's just insane.
See, my thing with Trump is I think he's like, Trump is definitely a bully. He reminds me of this one person that I know that is, I think he's a bully in the comedy world, in our circle. And he punches people all the time. But he punches people that you're like, well, that person kind of deserved to get punched. Mm. But so I think that's what Trump is doing is he's like, well, you're saying all this stuff about North Korea and the shit that's happening there is shocking and it is bad. And probably those people do need help being saved or something like that. But that's what Trump's doing is he's just like he's going after a really awful person, but he's also an awful person. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense to you? Like, he's doing this, like, if he did this to Sweden, everyone would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Those people are nice. They make great furniture that's very budget friendly. But but he's going after a bad person, but not a person that's affecting any of us, really. Yeah. But we don't know what it's like over there, right? Because we can't tell. It's a very fucked up situation. And in some ways, and please don't think I support Trump, but sometimes I'm like, well, at least he's saying things that kind of need to be said in some ways.
Right.
But in most ways, it's just terrifying. Like, just absolutely terrifying. And he's just so... The person that has his finger on a nuclear button is tweeting the most ridiculous things.
And also, this is how bad he is. People, and probably majority of people are like, oh, man, I wish Bush was in power.
I know.
They want to go back to Bush. They forgot how terrible Bush was and is. Yeah. That does not excuse the fact of what he did. He made millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. He conned us all. He was a terrible person. This guy is just worse.
Yeah.
Right? You can be bad and worse, right?
Yeah.
Things can get worse. Man.
But now, and also, I think he picked Pence because he knew, well, this would be the way worse to have this guy in charge because he's way worse than me. So no one wants to impeach Trump because they don't want Mike Pence to be in charge.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. Do you have any?
Do you have anything else?
No, I was talking about predictions.
Oh, right, predictions. Okay. Are we done with the 2017?
Unless there's something you really need to talk about.
Well, not really, but I just wanna do like
this is a two-parter, so we can keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to say. Like, breakout star in the hip-hop game was Cardi B.
She's amazing. Yeah. I love her.
Post Malone was a breakout star for the males.
Do you know who I love? I love Chance the Rapper.
Chance is amazing.
Because his music is amazing, but he's also, and this is my thing about Kanye, he's a good person who's giving back. Like, and maybe Kanye gives back quietly or something, but I don't know.
What's wrong with Kanye? Kanye is raising a family.
A lot of people are raising families, but I constantly hear about Chance the Rapper going back to Chicago and giving to his community and like giving back and making it a better.
The Dropout was Keeping Kids in School, the first album. Kanye expressed how the situation in Chicago is so bad in a song where he said, I don't know the exact number. You guys can. It's on Watch the Throne where he says like. You know, 3,000 soldiers died in Iraq. 4,500 died in Chicago.
Yeah,
like he's.
But is he doing anything about it?
Sure, what? I'm sure he is. He's like here's the thing. When there's like going and like giving money and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But that in a way, I don't think.
But it's helps. Not. But he doesn't just give money. He goes and he helps his community. Like, right.
But also, I think what Kanye is doing is major help because he's using his platform. Right. He talked about the homophobia in rap, and he's like, I think that was, he's like, I think that was the most dangerous thing I ever did, and he was right. He was like, yeah, man, rap is very homophobic. So he did that like right off the jump, man. George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah.
You know, that was halfway right. He just doesn't care about poor people, black or white. That's a killer mic line. So I think that's a thing. Who was the breakout acting star of last year? Was there someone that just like blew you away?
Trying to think about
I think
that.
Get Out was the best movie
that
of
was
year.
Such a great movie. Yeah, that was a really great movie.
Yeah, so shout out to, was it Jordan Peele?
Good. I mean, I was so excited for him because he is now the top grossing black director or something like that. That was such an incredible movie. It was so, well done and so funny and so horrifying.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It was great.
Like I was just like, Jordan Peele's a genius.
Yeah, it was just such a good movie.
The worst movie of the year was Mother. Did you see
no.
it? Oh my God. I was furious after I watched it. I was mad that I just watched it. It was a pile of just art house drivel. It was just awful.
Oh,
it
man.
Made no sense. It was gross. It was offensively gross. Like, listen, I got abortion jokes and stuff like that. They eat a baby in that movie.
Oh,
It was just like, I'm just watching this. I'm like, I can just see this guy in the editing room jerking off to his crazy ability. And I felt so bad for Jennifer Lawrence for actually, I guess she was dating this guy or something.
Oh, okay. And so that's why she did it?
I hope that's why she did it. Not because she thought it was a good script, because it was really stupid. And I'm sure people disagree with me and you're allowed to, but I think it was the worst. It was awful. Okay. Just awful. Breakout actor and actress. I can't think of like someone that's just like, holy shit, where did that person come from?
Yeah, you would basically like have to, they would have to.
I'd have to do research.
No. Well, they would have to do like a couple of roles, I think.
Yeah.
Before you're like, wow, this person really got on the scene.
My saddest breakup of the year was Anna Faris and Chris, what's his name?
Oh, Pratt.
Yeah, even though I love Chris Pratt and I would totally marry him. But I was sad that they broke up. But the thing is, you never know what's going on.
Bieber and Selena got together.
I know, that was cute.
Yeah, after that was nice. The Weeknd.
Yeah, I felt bad for the Weeknd.
Oh, J-Lo is now with A-Rod.
Yes.
She ended it with Drake.
Oh, yeah, poor Drake. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know Drake. Everybody hates on Drake, but he wears his heart on his fucking sleeve with women, but he goes after the women that are evil. He goes after Rihanna. She's an evil bitch, and I love her, but she's an evil bitch. You can't go after Rihanna and expect to break that wild stallion, because she is a wild stallion.
Yeah, wild, wild thoughts. That person has.
I felt so
Drake,
bad.
Drake released a new song called Pistols.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a salsa vibe, you know? It's got to be about J-Lo.
Yeah.
He says one line in it is you said it first, but I meant it more.
This is why I like Drake, because he has real feelings, like, and he's not afraid to be an emotional man.
And that's so like a friend of mine, he's a rapper, and him and I constantly have arguments about Drake because I like Drake, and he's so stuck in the past with like hardcore hip hop, which I you know, hardcore rap music I love. I like that too.
Yeah.
But he just goes, Drake's just not real. I'm like, he talks about his emotions. He's the most real person ever.
Yeah.
The person that's like, yo, fuck bitches, get money. That's not real.
That's not real. That's a front. Is that right?
Yeah. It is a front. Look at you. Yeah. He's fronting. I think the best album of the year, if I could go rap album, there's a bunch, but I'm very biased. 444.
Yeah.
My
favorite album of the whole year was the Calvin Harris album.
Okay.
It was so good. It was every song on that was just like, I listened to it all summer. It was such a great album.
Yeah. I like 444 just because it was so introspective.
That was a really great album too. But it was real. I think it was just more of like, oh, okay, he's answering back for all the shit he did to B.
Right. But so they were talking about it together, and Beyonce just happened to go first.
Yeah.
He said, he's like, yeah, of course.
No, I know. I saw something. I read an article about it, and it had some amazing point to it. I can't remember what it was now. Fuck. Oh, well.
He's going to counseling and therapy.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z is going to, and he's making it cool, you know?
If I'm going to make a prediction about 2018, I think that 2018 men are going to finally learn how to be emotional and deal with their feelings. Mm-hmm. Because, so I had this joke at the end of mid-year, and I was like, I just want to open a hotel, men only, mm-hmm. and then go and cry. You can cry in your room. You can cry by the pool. You can cry anywhere. You can cry about anything, and no one's going to ridicule you or make you feel bad about yourself. And I mean, maybe that's not the answer, because I think the guys need to learn how to get their emotions out. But I did that, and two comics lost it on me, basically. Like, not lost it, but we're just like, we don't need to cry. And I'm like, you are just proving my point.
Yeah.
You need to get some of this shit out of you.
I did a comedy workshop. I sometimes do it here and there for free, by the way, everybody.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, just because it's like, it's not like a course.
It's just a workshop.
It's just a workshop. This is basically like, hey, this is the stuff I know.
Yeah.
If you want to know it or learn it or ask me questions about it, that's all I'm giving. It's basically like, you get to hang out with me for 2 hours.
I mean, Ari did that at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what more comics that are up higher level need to start doing.
Yeah. And then afterwards, we were just hanging out, and this female comedian opened up about situations we talked about already in the beginning of this podcast. And, you know, I'm just like, but in the comedy, solely in the comedy community. And then someone else said something, and I just went like, this is not a comedy issue. This is a
world issue.
It's a world issue. It is a social issue. It's happening, and like, we just, you know, this is what needs to happen and all this stuff. And then she got really emotional because, you know, I compared to race and did all these things, and then to let the other guys know that, you know, this happens to me, but in a different angle.
Way, yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, you're right. This has got to stop, and this is bullshit and all this stuff. And she got really emotional. She goes, it sucks that you as a male authoritative figure come in here and say this, and everybody's like, yep. 100%. And I've been screaming this for months.
Yeah.
And no one listens. And then as she's crying. And we're still talking. And her boyfriend starts marginalizing what she's saying.
Oh, no.
Because he can't deal with it.
Yeah.
He's, as men, like, this is a problem just because, like, it's hard being a guy, man.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Like, I've even said this, like, nobody knows what to say.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what to do. When I've told men that I've been involved with the things that have happened to me, they get angry, or they get this, not at me, but they get angry about what happened.
Yeah.
And, but they're like, I don't know what I can do. And
exactly.
I'm like, there's nothing you can do now.
Yeah,
but,
and, but the thing is, like, it's hard being a guy. Because, like, totally. it's like, yo, you can't be vulnerable for anything.
Exactly.
You can't be vulnerable at any second. So this guy's just, like, seeing this person that he loves cry, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. So he just starts making jokes, because that's his defense mechanism.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I looked at him like, hey, you don't have to do this.
No.
It's okay. You don't have to, just don't say a word.
But do you think that guys are going to start being able to talk more about their feelings? Is that,
because
even saying
so.
That makes me like, haha, that's silly. But it's not.
I hope so. I hope it's okay for us to.
I think you're going to see it starting to happen, especially if someone like Jay-Z is going to therapy and saying, look, I got to talk my feelings out. That's amazing.
You can't heal what you never reveal.
Yes.
Jay-Z.
Very good.
I
love how, but I love how none of them are yours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I quote though.
At least you quote.
Yeah, I just have I literally have a Rolodex of, like, I have all these rap lyrics in my head.
Yeah.
And so if you talk about something, I can just implement it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's very profound. I'm like, that was Kanye.
That was Kanye. I'm like, I don't know. I know that everybody,
So you think that's going to happen? I hope so too. I hope we see a black owner in the NFL.
There's not one black owner in the NFL.
The Carolina Panthers are up for sale, so I hope
that
happens.
Wow, that's crazy.
But here's the thing. It's so unionized, like, with the owners, so they just probably wouldn't let someone in like that.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I did not know this. I'm learning so much from you.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, the NFL is 90% black, and there's, like, what, four? No.
There's,
like, two, three black coaches.
Yeah.
You know, a handful of black quarterbacks, zero black owners. It's a...
I think the thing that I really loved about the Colin Kaepernick situation was when all of these like asshole white dudes were like, fuck it, I'm boycotting the NFL. I'm like, good. I'm like, yeah. I love it. You're boycotting something that you love. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It made me so happy.
You're so racist.
You're so racist. I love it. Now you can't watch your precious football anymore because you think it's bad. I fucking loved it. I loved it. Stuff like that needs to happen.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah, more of that.
Yeah.
What else? So we think Trump is going to get impeached.
Yeah.
I
think there'll be another terrifying terror attack.
I mean. The way things are going, it's just the percentages on your side.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not wrong. But just, things aren't changing. I think the pendulum is going to swing back. And, things are going to stay the same. This has been a great thing to talk about, but nope. What else do I think is going to happen? That's a hard thing that we have to. It's so vague. So give me like a specific area on.
Let's see, what like in the world of whatever.
Yeah. So tell me. Yeah.
Okay. So what's gonna happen in what do you think's gonna happen in the world of comedy? Do you think Louis C.K. is gonna come back, have a little special, and crown back?
I think he's gonna be quiet for a couple of years.
Which is the way you handle with.
He usually does like an hour of material a year. So he's not doing that. He's not producing any shows. He's not writing any shows because he's done everything. Right,
hopefully
now.
He's working on himself.
So no, yeah, hopefully he's working on himself. But I know what he's working on. In a couple of years, he's gonna come back and give the best hour of stand up.
Yeah,
not working on himself, but he's working on stand up. So I think.
Well, I mean, you give as okay. So you can't. I mean, what the whole Louis C.K. thing is kind of weird because. There's so many comics that lure girls into their room and jerk off in front of them that it really? Almost seems normal. But no, it's not normal. And those girls deserve. The thing I liked about the Louis thing is that he actually said those girls aren't lying. And to me, to be told that you aren't lying, I think yeah. If I was one of those girls, that would mean so much to me. I don't know how they reacted to that or anything. And I don't think that what he did was good, but. I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but he's somebody that I could forgive. If he shows me a reason to forgive, if he shows me that he is like learned, and I think that a lot of these guys it's happening to.
You just want justice.
I want justice.
No, you just want justice. And then you want what, like the prison. Okay, here, let's just do crime. Crime is very easy.
Yeah.
Right? You do something wrong. You want justice. You get punished for it. But then you want the person to be rehabilitated
yeah.
and then a functioning member in society.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you want. And I think he got punished. Mm-hmm. Right?
It wasn't he lost a ton of stuff.
Yeah. It wasn't a in the eyes of the law, it wasn't a criminal act. So he doesn't get jail time. I mean, these women could press charges and then it would have to go to court.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, it would probably be like give money involved yeah. or whatever. But if that's now whole, then all you want is him to be rehabilitated, and then for sure you gotta that's the next part is for
yeah
being a functional member of society, and then you forgive the person. If you know somebody you know stole something when they were 17 and then they had to do community service
yeah
and now they don't steal anymore, what, you can still hate this fucking person?
Yeah, they learned.
You know, they learned.
And they
their
changed.
Lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it is everyone. There's not one person on this planet that hasn't done something shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. It's not or big or little, and people can change. But like I'm saying, like if it's like a serial person, like Harvey Weinstein, what he was doing for years, like yes, he should be never come back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I just like I feel. Yeah, I think that I know he'll make a comeback. And he's not a Bill Cosby. He didn't drug and rape numerous women. He made some really terrible choices. And he made people feel small. And he used his power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. But I think that if we can only hate and you will never forgive other people for things, nothing will get better. Nothing will get better.
Yeah, another thing that happened this year, speaking of like rehabilitation and all that, Meek Mill, the guy that Drake had a beef
with. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew about that one.
Yeah, he basically ended his career. But Meek Mill...
he went to jail, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh.
And what happened was, when he was 19 years old, Meek Mill got charged and arrested and went to prison. I think it's for drugs. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So don't quote me on that. You guys got to look that up yourself. So he got into trouble, right? 19-year-old Meek.
Yeah.
Did something bad.
Yeah.
Got in trouble, went to jail. Got out, was on probation. He's 31 now. For 11 fucking years, this guy was on probation.
Yeah.
11 years?
That's crazy.
That's not a thing.
No.
So guess what he did? He did a pop a wheelie in his dirt bike.
Yeah.
And so the cop stopped him.
No.
And said, that's against your probation.
And he's in jail now?
4 fucking years?
No.
He's black.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Drake, in his new song, shouted him out. He's like, I'm as long like a Milli verse, too long like a sentence from a Philly judge. And he goes, fuck the hate. Why are we beefing if we're really blood?
Yeah.
Right. If we're all really blood. because he's just like, yo, that's yo, it's an injustice anywhere is an injustice, and that system is so corrupt.
It's so
and
corrupt.
That place called fuck. I was gonna say America, but like the world, really, but just more prevalent there.
Yeah,
it is so backwards, and it happens all the time, and no one
does anything.
No one does anything. Fucking Harvey Weinstein. This shit is damn near criminal.
And he's free, probably lounging by a beach somewhere in France.
He still owns his company. He's still getting money.
Oh, my God.
He's still getting money from the shit. But Meek Mill is...
That's disgusting. Like,
on probation for 11
years? How can a normal
years?
Person hear that and think that that's okay? How do you hear that and think that that's okay? And then there are so many... Look, Donald Trump should be behind bars for some of the shit that he's done in his life. And he's leading the free world. Fucking, it's ridiculous.
You know what's so funny is he said all these nasty things and all these terrible things, and then it was going to be a change when he's like grabbing by the pussy because yeah. It was a white woman that he was talking about.
Yeah, of course.
And that's, well, what,
that, but that's then, what I said. This yeah. all broke because white women spoke up.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do. It is so much of what's happening in this world today that's bad as white privilege, and I don't know how to fix it, and I don't. But yeah. but that it that's horrifying that he went to jail for 4 years. That's absolutely disgusting.
Or I mean, I don't know what the sentence, because he's still they did like more bail hearings and stuff like that. But yeah, he's in jail. Yeah. It might be.
Who cares how long? Do you know how much his lawyer's bills are? Do you know how much yeah. money he lost with all of that?
It just he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. Oh wait, okay, sorry. I just got this.
Oh, well, this is terrible. Okay, good. All right, sorry about that. Terrible podcast.
Yeah, terrible podcast. Sorry about that, guys. He shouldn't be in probation for that long.
11 years. That's insane.
Yeah,
that is insane. My brother. I don't care if he's mad if I tell this story. He, when he was like a, I don't know, 17, he crashed his truck and then dumped it somewhere and then came home and said it got stolen.
Yeah.
And
was he drunk?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
But so
at the very least, reckless driving, a fake police report.
Yeah. And so they called the police. They came to the house. My brother did a report. Mm-hmm. And then the cops were like, now, are you sure you want to file this report? And he's like, yeah, that's what happened. And then the cops were like, there's no way someone could have stolen your truck the way that the steering wheel column was broken. And then my brother just was like, okay, I did it. And I don't even know for sure what happened. He did have to go to court. And my brother could have made the NHL. Like, my brother was a really good hockey player.
Yeah.
He didn't. This wasn't because of this. He hurt his knee when he was 19. Oh, okay, and then just kind of fucked his chances over. But he was, like, doing really well in hockey. And, like, he was on the way to getting a scholarship and all this stuff. And he made this one mistake. And he did. I think he did get. I don't know. I don't remember everything. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. He's like, fuck you, Kathleen. But it was a mistake that he made when he was a kid.
Yeah, he's 17.
And he had to do community service, and maybe he was on probation. I can't remember. But he's lucky that he didn't get fully criminally charged, because if he did, he would never have gotten any college scholarships, mm-hmm. and he ended up getting some. So, but if my brother was black, can you imagine? Yeah. And this is in Canada. Yeah. But can you imagine if he was, or even a person of color?
If he was black, he would have made the NHL.
bum knee or not, yeah. But no, but that's just like that's just putting in perspective in my brain, like what he did when he was 19 and 11. You can't be on probation for 11 years. Yeah. That's disgusting. And then mm-hmm. he goes to jail for four. I just,
yeah, like 2 to 4. I that's what I was gonna look up.
And even him being a famous rapper didn't help him.
Yeah,
if this had been a white celebrity. Look at Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber's done enough stuff to have gone to jail by now.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, you get second chances when... let's not...
It's such a frustrating conversation, it's a good conversation to have. All right. Do you have any last things that you want to say? Any last predictions?
2 to 4 years. I was right. Oh, nice. I'm so years. Good. Okay. Yeah. Last thing. Okay. So if to... Because this is a two-parter. I don't know. Maybe you can put this at the end of both.
Okay.
The theme of this thing is do what you want to do in life.
Yes.
Because it's too short. So focus on what you want to do. Don't worry about anything else. Hang out with the people you want to hang out with and nothing else.
If you want to cheat on your wife and family, go ahead. Just do it because you want to do it. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, you get it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. If you see an injustice anywhere, even if it's not your group of people.
Speak up.
Yeah. injustice anywhere is an injustice, no matter what race, creed, religion, whatever.
And
just be better. Be better in 2018.
Be nicer to everyone. Like, just and think about what that person, why they're that way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
try and put it in perspective. Try and put in perspective why that person is so angry, or why that person is so mean, or why that person has that opinion on something. And I mean, I have to do that. We all have to do that. But like, it's something that everybody needs to do.
And as long as, if you see something, as long as it's not hurting you or hurting other people, you'll let people just be happy.
Yes.
Right. If it doesn't affect you, it doesn't affect you.
Stop being the fun police.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, like that was the whole, thing when, the whole defense against gay marriage for the longest time. Well, where does it stop? It's like, I don't give a fuck where it stops. All right. Cause it's not affecting me.
Yeah.
These people want to get married. They're happy. They're not hurting anybody. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, what if they marry a horse? I'm like, fucking marry a horse. Go and do it. Don't hurt the horse. Just have
hey,
a good time.
If the horse says yes, then let them get married.
And I would guarantee you, they're going to say nay. Let's go.
Oh, Sunny, I hope you have an amazing 2018. I hope you get to do a lot of fun comedy and...
Me three.
Find some thick bitches. Is that something?
Slim Thick.
Slim Thick?
I think that's the fabulous song.
Slim Thick.
Like I'm Thim Slick. No, Thim Slick. That's it. He switches up.
Thim Slick.
Thim Slip.
I love it.
It's such a good song.
You're one of my favorite human beings, and I think that you're doing... I love seeing you happier. You seem happier.
Yeah, it's all front.
Our last podcast. Our last podcast was a year ago, and we talked about deeper stuff. So this one, we talked about really deep stuff. But anyway, I never know how to end these things. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And where you have got social medias?
Yes, at Sunny D Comedy, Instagram and Twitter. If you're in the Prince George, when is this going to come out?
First half will come out next, or this Sunday.
Yeah, but you're going to put the ending on both?
Sure.
Sure. Monday. So this weekend, Thursday, Friday of this week, I'll be in Prince George.
Uh-huh.
So check me out there.
At Sonar?
No.
Oh, where?
Foxy's.
Nancy O's.
I love that place.
I fucking love that place.
Yeah, Ian.
Oh, my God.
I'm coming, bro.
I love the... My first night, I had like a very conservative bill, and one of the owners came up to me the second day, and he's like, I need to talk to you about your bill. And I'm like, oh my God, did I order too much? He goes, you didn't order anything. And I was like, oh, was I? And they're like, we were disappointed in you. We heard that you liked to party. So then that night I ordered a tray of Jaeger shots, and I just walked them around the bar. It was the best night ever.
When we were checking in, a funny story about them is, so Ian's like, all right, let me check in with you. So I can, see if you get in okay and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he walks in, and this is so Prince George. The guy behind the counter is just very nice, but I don't think he's ever faced in this situation, because there's two men standing there, and he looks down, and it's only one bed, and he doesn't know.
Two tall, handsome men.
Yeah. And he doesn't know how to ask. Is the problem. And so he's just
That's
looking.
That's a very Prince George
situation. He's looking and he's looking up and he goes, I think there might be a mistake, but I'm not sure. Is there's only one bed. Is that okay? And then I'll go, one bed is fine. Like, and then Ian looks at me, like, why would there be two beds? He's like, because there's another. And then Ian figures it out. He goes, oh, I'm not staying here. I'm just, it's under my name. Just here to check in. He goes, oh, okay. Thank God. And then Ian goes, that's not, and he goes, because. The guy behind the counter goes, because I don't have a problem with it. And then I went, sounds like you do. And then Ian went, that's not very progressive of you. And then I kissed Ian on the mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's going to go into like some sort of movie scene or something.
For
that's
sure.
Really I just grabbed my dog's dick back.
Hey, if that makes you happy. if that makes you happy and you're not hurting Eugene, it's fine.
He just jumped up and like, anyway.
And then on the 14th. No, 15th. I'm at Comedy Monday Night in Calgary.
January.
Of this month. Because that's when the second part's coming out.
Yeah.
I think I'm in Crash Test on the
Tuesday.
Yeah, which is the 16th, and on the 17th I'm in Oak Tree, all in Calgary.
Yeah.
So if you're in Calgary, check me out, guys.
Check them out.
Yeah. What about you? Are you gonna plug yourself?
No.
Cool.
I have stuff. I'm going to White Horse in February, so I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I love White Horse.
White Horse, we're coming for you.
We're coming for you. So 2018 is going to be awesome. That's all we have to say. Thank you for listening.
Bye.